At Cool Air Products, we developed AC Smart Seal Quick Shot with professionals in mind. It's the only product on the market that's 3-in-1 with sealant, lubricant, and UV dye all in a single application. It's non-toxic, non-flammable, 100% safe to the touch, eco-friendly, and compatible with all refrigerants. It's a safe solution option, backed by years of R&D, Intertech tested, and has sealed millions of leaks. AC Smart Seal, the professional's choice.
Have you guys ever heard of the term IoT? Well, it's all around us, and you probably see it almost every day, at least most of us anyway. We're going to get into what IoT means and how it's used in today's world, and we're going to relate it to the world of HVAC. There's another term that we're going to talk about during this podcast, and that term is predictive maintenance. Now, we're all used to the term preventative maintenance. Predictive maintenance is a little bit different. Preventative maintenance is when we show up on site, we check some stuff, clean coils, we prevent things from happening. Predictive maintenance is when we monitor and stack analytics, and we use those analytics to predict when failure is about to happen or is close to happening. And then we can respond before a problem even occurs. We're going to talk about IoT. We're going to talk about predictive maintenance. And we're going to talk about efficiency and value and how Armstrong has developed a pump called the Design Envelope Pump and how it kind of comes full circle with what we're talking about here as far as value, efficiency, IoT, and predictive maintenance. I have a great guest on from Armstrong. His name is Avishai Moskovich, very smart guy, very intelligent. We're going to talk about a few things here. Let's get to it. This is the HVAC Know It All podcast. I'm your host, Gary McCready. So guys, as always, I got to give the great sponsors of HVAC Know It All a shout out. Testo Yellow Jacket, Refrigeration Technologies, Armstrong, Field Pulse, and True Tech Tools. And if you guys listen on a regular basis, you know that if you apply promo code at truetechtools.com, you apply promo code KNOWITALL, you'll save 8% on your purchases. Sorry about Fluke and Fleer. We just can't save 8% on those items, but they still sell them if you're interested in those products. Now, True Tech Tools has developed a new way for you to save on Testo products. You have to follow a link, answer a couple of questions, sign into your True Tech Tools account, and then you'll see preferred Testo pricing. So if you want to go to this link and answer the questions, go to HVACKNOWITALL.com, scroll down the homepage, the True Tech Tools logo, click on it, answer the questions, and when you sign into your True Tech Tools account, you will see preferred Testo pricing. I shared a meme from Field Pulse the other day. It was quite funny. It was basically to give you insight into a customer's mindset. It was a meme that had three stacked pictures. First picture was a couple of guys staring at each other, and the caption was, "Well, you guys were just out here." Second picture is a bit of a stare down. Third picture, stare down again with some cut eye, and the caption was, "6 years ago." Right? And that's what customers do. They play these games. Customer will call up, "Well, you guys are just out here servicing this thing. I don't know why it's not working." Well, the dispatcher will start going through the file folders, find the service report from the last time we were there. "Yeah, we were there, but it was 14 months ago. And the customer will be like, "Oh, I thought it was sooner." That's what customers do. They want to save money. They don't want to pay for a repeat service call. So they try these little tactics. I'm the same way. When I call my cell phone provider or cable provider, I try to do the same thing. That's a customer mindset. But what I was going to say is Field Pulse can offer you the advantage of paperless tracking of your job history. So a customer tries to pull the stunt on you. You look up the last job that was done through their system, through their software, and you can easily tell the customer and send them the last report via email. "Hey, this is what we did the last time." And this is all done with your fingertips in minutes and maybe even seconds. So this is the advantage of Field Pulse. They're offering a 14-day free trial for you guys. Check it out, fieldpulse.com/HVAC know-it-all. Check it out, guys.
So,
hey, Abby, how you doing?
Good, Gary. Yourself?
Well, since it's 8:45 and my kids just went to bed, a little bit tired. But hey, that's what happens when you live the dream, right?
I know. Mine's already asleep, so it's the calm after the storm right now.
Oh yeah, exactly. How was your day today?
It was busy, but good. So I'm on vacation next week, so I'm looking forward to that to end the summer. How was yours?
Well, today I was on a roof leak checking a pretty large chiller for a server room. So this chiller is a McQuay chiller. It's got six compressors. They're called three of them are piped together, like it's called a trio. Mm-hmm. So they're piped in parallel, and there's one circuit, and then there's a second circuit, so two circuits. So one of the circuits was short of refrigerant. So I spent the day leak checking, and I'm pretty sure that I've got down to the bottom of it. I'm going to change a couple of parts that my leak detector told me were leaking, and we're going to go from there, put some gas in it and get it back up and running. So that was my day, and that'll be my day tomorrow to end the week. And just like you, I have a couple of days off next week to bang out the rest of the summer with the kids. So it should be fun.
Yeah, the X is happening here in Toronto. So
oh, that's right. So yeah, the exhibition. So, yeah.
So we'll be sure to go there next week as well.
It's always a fun time there for sure.
Yeah, tradition.
So, yeah, no, it definitely is a tradition. It's been how many years? 40 years? 50 years?
I don't know. I stopped counting a while ago, but yeah, it's definitely a Toronto tradition for anybody that doesn't know. And what the CNE Canadian Exhibition is?
Oh, it's a great place. Lots of entertainment, rides for the kids, and whatnot. But we're going to talk about some really cool things on this podcast. And before we get into that, tell me about your background in the industry and how you ended up at Armstrong.
Sure, be happy to. So I'm a mechanical engineer. Started my career as an engineering consultant, designing mechanical systems for buildings and managed projects to build those. After business school, I joined an innovation lab for ETE, an energy company, where I developed cool ideas around how energy, connected products, and data all come together to bring value to consumers. I joined Armstrong about 6 months ago as a global marketing manager for the after-sales service business line.
Mm-hmm.
And I work over there to commercialize IoT products and delivering value to the market.
Yeah, and last time we talked, I said to you, I said, that's a great word, is value. And if you're providing value to a customer, I mean, your customer is going to keep coming back, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to stop coming back to you because you're providing value. So everybody might have a definition of value and what value is. So in your mind, for yourself and Armstrong, what is value?
In my mind, value really comes down to be efficient and saving time and money.
Yes.
Everything, those are the building blocks of value. So really, if you can come up with products and tools that can give that to your customers, then you gave value.
Exactly. And I think that I had mentioned before when I was in my gas fitter class to get my gas technician 1 certificate, which is the highest level of gas certificate you can have in Ontario. It allows you to work on any piece of gas fired equipment basically under the sun. And my teacher was in, I'd say, mid 50s to early 60s, and he always had this little joke about him, about how he was lazy, and he always tested things in the lazy way. But he didn't mean lazy. That was just his little comical word to get you to kind of pay attention. He meant he did it in an efficient way. He did it smarter, not harder. So it was less work for him, but he was still getting the test point or the test value that he needed from whatever he was working on. So when you say value and efficiency, that goes a long way to helping a customer get what they want. And to be efficient is to provide value, like you were saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Question, was your teacher using specific tools to provide value to test in a certain way?
Yeah, I'm sure he was using combustion analyzers and digital meters and manometers and stuff like that. But he would say, like, if he was testing something, he would say, oh, I'll bypass that, because there's no need to test that while I'm testing that. And it might not come across to someone that's learning to bypass things to be able to be more efficient, because you got to understand what you're doing. And he was very, very intelligent. And he was jumping, he was jumping the gun a little bit, but I understood what he meant, right? I understood that what he was trying to do was try to tell us to be efficient, and this is how I'm efficient, but it's not necessarily how you can be efficient, because some people, they have to take the step by step by step by step route. But because he was so experienced in his trade, he knew what steps he could skip during his troubleshooting to get to the end of what he was trying to accomplish, right?
Right.
So anyway, efficiency and value is a great thing to provide to a customer. And if you provide that, they'll keep coming back to you. And we want to talk about IoT, because that's going to translate into efficiency and value for a customer. But first we need to learn what IoT stands for.
Yeah, sure. So IoT is short for Internet of Things. And what Internet of Things is, it refers to the network of physical objects that have internet connectivity, and also to the layer of opportunities that this connectivity opens up from analytics and communication perspective. And really in our industry, think of all the edge devices that we have, the chillers, the boilers, the pumps, the valves, essentially every piece of equipment, they're all working in their own world. But the minute you start connecting them, it becomes very, very powerful. And you can do great things by putting them all together and analyzing the data that they give you. So that's really what, in short, in IoT, and we can delve a little bit more into that a little later.
So when you say Internet of Things, and can you give us some examples of some household items or household things that people might be using every day that's part of the IoT Internet of Things?
Yeah, sure. So IoT is also, in the consumer side, is what we refer to as a smart home. So if you have Amazon Echo, or you have an Ecobee or Nest smart thermostat, or your Wi-Fi LED lighting, those are all IoT products. Those are all connected to your Wi-Fi and to the cloud. And think about how much value those devices bring you. If you have a smart thermostat that knows when you are coming home because it connects to your phone and it knows where when you are in the area, and it starts preparing the temperature to be comfortable when you are reaching home, it's value, right? It gives you, first of all, it saves you time because you don't have to wait for an hour for the temperature to drop at home. And it saves you money because during the day, it can let the temperature rise higher. It doesn't have to keep the temperatures, for example, in 25 Celsius. I can let it go to 28, 29, but at 6 p.m. when you get home, it will be at 25 when you are comfortable. So that's a value because it saved you time and money.
Right? Another example of that too is I know a couple of people that have actually gone on holiday in the wintertime to Cuba or Jamaica or somewhere in the Caribbean, and they get a notification on their phone that their house temperature has dropped below 60 degrees, like Fahrenheit. right?
Oh, okay.
So, hey, yeah, the heating's not working. And it's minus 20 degrees Celsius in Toronto. I better get my neighbor to open the door for a tech to come in and look at my heating before my house freezes and the pipes burst, right?
100%. Yeah.
So there's value there.
For sure.
Sorry.
No. I'm saying for sure. That's on the consumer side, what everybody knows. And the IoT is like, is let's talk about how this one comes in into our industry and how it can change things for the better for everyone, right?
Yeah. So let's talk about your pumps. So how does IoT and the pumps, how do they integrate together to bring value and efficiency?
Sure. So if we can, maybe we can give some context. If we look at buildings, what the problems that steel buildings have are what we call the performance drift. So equipment is installed and it's been commissioned. It works as designed, but over time, because it's moving pieces, the efficiency and the operation drifts away from the optimal peak. So you have sort of a degradation of the assets. Another problem is that even if you have a building automation system, which are very expensive, they are very much centralized system. And what I mean by that is you have one computer, typically the operator's room, and you have wires that you have to run from every piece of equipment, every sensor and every boiler. You have to run them all the way back to the operator room. So it becomes very expensive to add sensors. That's why you don't add all the sensors that you would like to know. So maybe, for example, for a pump, you would like to know a lot of information, but because it's expensive, you only put a current sensor on the power line, so you know if it's drawing current and you know it's on or off, and then maybe a differential pressure, so you know the pressure differential is fine, and maybe a flow meter, and that's it. You don't know anything else. You don't know the flow. You don't know how much power it actually takes. You just know where there is power. You can't modulate it. So really, those are issues that current building automation systems have. Another problem is that they don't talk with other buildings. It's all confined into the same structure. You don't know. You cannot compare to any other building across the wall, right? And when the IoT concept comes in, that changes. All those issues are being addressed by having what we call a dynamic. What I mean by dynamic is a real-time device that can give you data in real time and then changes based on the operating efficiency. It's decentralized. Well, what I mean by that is now you don't have all the wires that you have to pull back to the operator's room, because those devices, the smart devices that are connected to the IoT, connected to the internet directly, right? It becomes affordable and scalable, so you can add more devices very easily, right? And maybe we can give some examples. I know you mentioned last time we spoke that you went to a service call. You had some issues, right?
Yeah. I'm gonna just go back for a minute, just so everybody understands exactly what we're talking about. So, what Avi was saying is that you have a bunch of equipment, and you got to hardwire this equipment to controllers, and it's called a network, right? And then we have to network all of this together, and networks have their limitations. You can only run certain length of wire before the network starts to not communicate well. And we had an instance, and I'm going to give everybody an example of how, just so you can compare it to, because I know what you're going to bring up. You're going to bring up the cloud, and I'm going to give this example on how we can compare it and how the cloud is more beneficial. So we had a building, We still take care of it. The network was already at its limitation. We already had trouble communicating sometimes because the network wiring was so long. There was probably 15 rooftops, maybe 50 unit heaters, and they were all on the same network. Okay, the network was then divided up into a subnetwork after, but we still had issues. So then a contractor came in under a tender and added two more rooftops. Okay. Now, when I go to the operator's desk and I try to communicate with these two rooftops, sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. And it's because the length of the network is at its max. Now, the cloud, I know you're about to bring up the cloud, but before we get into that, I was going to, you asked me about the issue I had with this place that I walked into, right?
Yeah, we can talk about that in a few minutes. But what I wanted to mention is it's not just the cloud itself.
Okay.
What we're talking about is really what we call active performance management.
Okay.
And what active performance management is really three things. Is one is you get a device, in our case it's a pump, that actually has the option to respond in real time in an intelligent manner to changes in the load. And it's all embedded into the device itself. Okay, so it can work by itself intelligently. And the second thing is that you have a layer of analytics. Okay, so you have a layer of analytics. What we do is we, at Armstrong, we teamed up with the IBM Watson platform. People might know, might heard about Watson from Jeopardy. So it's a very intelligent AI engine. And we feed all the data that we get from this pump to the cloud, right, to Watson.
Yep.
And Watson gives us a lot of information and benefit and insights that you cannot get from a typical building automation system. For example, it gives you an option to do predictive maintenance.
Yep, I like that word. And,
yeah,
and most of us know that the term preventative maintenance, but we're going to talk about predictive maintenance, which is a really cool word that I think. So
right.
Anyway, go on, Abby.
Yeah, so really, it's a combination. So what active performance management is really a combination of the technology itself, which is called design envelope technology, that can adjust to changing conditions by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our design envelope pumps are able to do. And then we have the pump manager product, which is an analytics cloud-based a product that is powered by IBM Watson, and that takes all the data from those pumps via Wi-Fi, and then it gives you insights like it knows how to recognize cavitation, it knows how to recognize if there is a broken coupling, it can give you notification if the pump is in hand, and it knows how to, so it records vibrations from the pump in real time. Okay, and everything is in the cloud and you can see that in real time. So we can talk a little bit about what is predictive maintenance versus preventive maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Predictive maintenance is a technique that helps determine the condition of equipment that typically requires service, and really it predicts when the maintenance should be performed. Okay, and the difference is that this approach really allows you to do cost savings, over a routine or what we call a time-based preventive maintenance, right? Because you don't do the service on a regular basis only when you know the equipment requires that.
Mm-hmm.
As an example, think about, again, maybe the chiller that you were servicing yesterday. On a regular year, how many times do you need to go and do a service on that?
We go about 5 times a year because it's a pretty important server room, and they like us to show up. And because it's more to the chillers, there's a pump room, there's a couple of chillers, and then the chillers feed many, many air handlers, which are fan coils, Liebert fan coils, down in a server room. So there's a lot of aspects to the system. So we go about five times a year.
Right. So if the system is, so you do that on preventative schedule.
Yes, that's right.
Right. So if that is being monitored live, then you are able to apply a predictive maintenance concept that everything, as long as there's no alarm bells ringing, everything works as fine. You don't have to go and service it. So then the user saves money, you save money, and we know because we monitor the equipment, you know that everything is fine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the concept of predictive maintenance. And what you do is you take the data and you do some analytics on it and you compare different patterns. For example, if you can record vibration of a pump, you know that a certain vibration for a certain amount of time can cause a broken coupling, right? And if you see, if you understand and you've seen the pattern before, you can actually predict on other pumps when this coupling is about to break, and then alert the tech, tell them which pump it is and what size of coupling it is, and then go before it's even broken to replace it.
So let me ask you this. So a tech listening, he might be thinking to himself or she, because there's a lot of females coming in, which is really great. We don't need to go to site anymore because of this. So does that mean they're going to lose out on that day's work because they don't go to site anymore? Or is it that we're going to still charge the customer the same fee for that preventative maintenance because now we're monitoring predictive maintenance? You know what I mean? And still providing the value that way. But now we can tell the customer, hey, we know we're still going to charge you the same amount as if a guy was coming out to your site. But now we know if something's going to happen and we can get there before it happens to fix the problem, to save you from an emergency or a disaster from happening.
Right. So two things. One, you're correct. One, if you need to go to site to see a problem and then you have to drive off site to the wholesaler and buy a piece of equipment and then go back to site and start doing the work, if you know ahead of time what's the issue and what the pump is and or what the equipment is, and you know what the parts you need, then you save yourself the time.
And that's right? One of the benefits of this. It will spit out a couple of parts that you may need to bring to the job to fix the problem, right? Is that how
that's
it works?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
That's really cool because, yeah, especially like, let's say a tech is driving into a downtown core. Like you and I know what it's like to drive into downtown Toronto. We get there. We're in the downtown core. We find out we need a little coupling for a pump, or maybe it's a big one, depending. And we got to drive all the way back out and then all the way back in. It's a complete pain in the ass, right? So if you bring the right part to the job already, I mean, that is efficiency and that's value, correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
So those new pumps, when they have pump manager attached with them, that's what it allows you to do. Right. And you can see it in the palm of your hand. You can actually see what the issue is. You can see what the pump, what the equipment is and what you need. So that's value. And that's really the power, some of the power of IoT and what it can bring to our business. So that's a very exciting time at Armstrong. We can actually do it. And we actually have that product out in the market. We really want to connect more products and more pumps because we see how valuable this solution is for everyone, from the users, from the tech side, to engineers, to contractors, and everybody can benefit from that.
Well, here's my example that we were going to discuss a few minutes ago. So it was a Saturday. I'm on call, and nobody likes to get called out when they're on call on a weekend. I mean, everybody plans to be called out, but nobody likes it because I don't, especially if I'm sitting down and watching a movie with my kids or whatever, and I get a service call. But this was maybe about a year and a half ago. It was the winter time, and I get a call that this building has no heat. It's a big warehouse. It's an old warehouse, but it's big. And the way it's heated, is that there's a couple of boilers. I think there was three boilers in the boiler room, a couple of big pumps, and it circulates hot water through radiators that are mounted at the deck, at the roof deck, with fans attached. And these fans blow air across the hot water rads, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I get a call that there's no heat. So I walk into the boiler room, and immediately I see water all over the place. The pumps were up on a mezzanine, and you had to actually go up a ladder, maybe 15 feet, to walk onto this mezzanine. And so the water was actually coming over this mezzanine like a waterfall, and it was landing on all the electrics mounted on the wall, the boiler controller, the disconnects for the pumps and splitters and other kind of stuff. And I was truly amazed we didn't pop any breakers, because we didn't. I don't know how that happened or didn't happen. So I climbed the ladder, I isolate the pump. And the reason why there was a leak is because the mechanical seal had gone in the pump, right? Now, I isolated it, and then I had to switch it over to the secondary or backup pump or lead lag or however they were doing it. But the fact that predictive maintenance can sense pump vibration, because I'm sure this pump started vibrating once that seal started to go. And I'm sure it wasn't just a catastrophic failure. I'm sure it started to leak a little bit. And over time, it just popped. Now, this predictive maintenance could have prevented me from going there on a Saturday. It could have prevented water from potentially causing an electrical issue in the building, right? Yeah. And it could have predicted the fact that all these workers in the building that day had no heat for a bunch of hours.
Yeah, exactly. You also mentioned something about you had to switch it yourself.
Yes, I did. Yeah,
yeah. So another feature that is to know that a pump is in hand. So right now, typically and I'm talking about in a commercial building that has a building automation system. Not all of them do. You don't know when a pump is in hand. You can have the all the bells and whistles of an automation system, but if the operator goes in and puts it in hand, everything is bypassed. And, you just don't know because you don't visit the mechanic room all the time. So pump manager, for example, will let you know that the pump is overridden and it's in hand, so you can go and bring it back to auto so you can actually work as intended in the design. Right?
Yeah, and that's a good feature. And if there's a building operator on site, you can just even call them up and say, hey, your pump is in hand. Can you put it back so we don't have an issue when they try to switch over, right?
Exactly.
So there was a security, couple of security items that you brought up regarding all of this, if you wanted to touch on that.
Yeah, sure. So there's a lot of questions typically about how secure is IoT and how secure is the cloud when we connect to the network, and we do understand that. And we actually took a couple of active measures to really mitigate that risk. And the main ones that we did was, although it is possible to control the pumps from the cloud and what's called a two-way communication, we disabled that two-way communication. So now it's really a readout. So it's only the pump transmits information and data out to the cloud, and nothing that being controlled out. So it's really there's no option to hack this, because the option is disabled completely to control from outside. You are able to control the pumps within the building via Wi-Fi, but not remotely from the cloud. And the second feature with Aid was that typically when you want to connect to the cloud, you need an internet connection. Well, there are two ways to connect to the internet. One is through the building network, what we call a LAN network, and the other one is through a cellular network that all the cell phones are using. So what we decided to do at Armstrong was to go with the cellular network. Every pump has a router that comes with it, and it's mounted on the wall beside it. A few pumps can connect to one router, and that router also has a SIM card, and it connects with the cellular network to the cloud and to send the data out. So it's a really a physical differentiation. So there's no connection, there's no physical connection between the pumps and the internet. So it really those two main measures that we take in order to make sure that there's no hacking and there's a cybersecurity for that solution.
Cool. So I think that before we wrap this up, we talked about how scalable this is. And we say that, let's go back to the example where the network wiring, the hard wiring of a network gets to its max point, and then it's hard to communicate. Now, these pumps, these design envelope pumps that you're talking about with their own router, they don't need to be hardwired into a network because they communicate with a cloud. So you can install 10 Okay. pump. You can install 10 pumps in a massive building. And then on the other side of this massive building, another 10, 2 years later, and it's not going to be an issue because you don't have to run network wiring for these things to communicate because they all communicate to the cloud and you can pull the information off of that, right?
Yeah. So it's scalable and affordable.
Yeah. That's awesome. And I wish, and I hope that's the future for all the way things are controlled. I mean, because it's not fun when you get we deal with reliable controls, and I was telling Tunji this, it's not fun when you get a job and you have 50 boards, 50 controllers, and you got to network them all and you got to run power to them all. And it sucks. So yeah. this cloud based technology that you guys are utilizing, it's fantastic. To me, that's awesome. It really is.
Yeah, it gives you more data and it really opens up the black box to see what's in there.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Which is exciting.
Yep.
So I mean that's really powerful. And like I said, we want to connect more assets and more pumps. So if there are any questions, I think we can keep up the discussion on your Facebook group.
Yep.
Happy to answer questions there. And if anybody wants to have to read more and get more information, they can go to our website and look up performance management, and you can read all about it over there.
And the website is armstrongfluidtechnology.com.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So for everybody that wants more information on this stuff, because it's the future. And what did I call it the last time? Do you remember?
No.
HVAC porn.
Oh yes, that's right.
It is. Yeah. It is. It is HVAC porn because it's so fascinating. it just draws you in. So Armstrong fluidtechnology.com, and you guys can check more of this stuff out. So Avi, anything else that you want to hit on before we take off?
No, I'm good.
You're good? Yeah, man. It's getting late. It's getting late. I'm tired, and I'm sure you are too.
Yeah. I hope to talk to you again soon.
Oh, we will. And I think next week I'm going to talk to Rohit about more in-depth conversation regarding design envelope pumps, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
All right, man. Have a good night.
You too.
All right, bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So the future is here in HVAC. And if you guys didn't know about this stuff beforehand, now you do. Predictive maintenance, IoT, this is the way things are going. So this is why I preach to old school techs set in their ways about digital gauges, digital manifold gauges. You got to pick them up and try them, and you got to learn them and understand how they get used, because that's what's called progressing. That's what's called learning. That's what's called advancing your intelligence. And all of these advancements in the HVAC world, they're not going away. They're going to keep coming at you, and they're just going to keep advancing. And if you don't stay on top of this stuff, you're not going to advance as a tech. that statement is 100% true. If you're not advancing, you're not reinventing yourself constantly, and you're not consistently learning, especially when new stuff comes out, you're going to get lost in the heat. I'm sorry, but you are. So you got to learn this stuff. So IoT, predictive maintenance, stacking analytics, looking at pump vibration, which is incredible, by the way, watching it trend over time and learning what that trend is telling us. And now we have a broken coupling, like Avi was saying. So now that's a baseline for every other pump we install. When that baseline, we can apply it to every other pump, say, hey, look at this trend. It's the same as that broken coupling back a couple years ago. Now we know when that coupling is going to break. Let's go change that coupling. That's predictive maintenance. That is truly amazing in my mind. Okay, and now instead of sending a guy or a girl, female, to a site, like I said, there's more female techs coming into this world and into the trades, and I really, really enjoy seeing that, to be honest with you. I think it's fabulous. So now we send a tech to a site, right? And they do preventative maintenance. So now we can take that tech off that site. He doesn't have to drive into a downtown core or to a building. And now he can sit at an office and he can look at the computer and say, hey, last time I looked at this, it was doing this, this, and this. Start trending things and start coming up with baseline patterns to apply to the next set of pumps that they install or he installs or the company installs. That's advancement in this trade. So take him off the site physically and get him to learn the analytics, get him to learn how the cloud works and how to monitor these pumps through an analytical way. Like if you think about sports these days, sports is a lot of analytics now. Tons of analytics involved in sports. So it doesn't surprise me that the world of HVAC is moving in this direction. Because it's information. And information is gold when it comes to creating a service plan to help your customer, and that's value and that's efficiency. So I asked Avi the question. So the tech doesn't have to go to site anymore during a PM. So does that mean the tech is going to lose out on that day's work? Well, in my mind, I say no. He doesn't have to lose out on that day's work because in my mind, you still offer a plan, a maintenance plan to the customer for the pump. But you say now for that same price that we would be coming to site, for that same price, now we're going to monitor and stack analytics to come up with a better service plan. And we're going to get to your site before things break. That is our plan. That is our mission. And like I said, you take the tech off the site physically and you stick them in the office for a day to learn this stuff and to create these trends and look at things in a different manner. And this is the way the world is going. I'm sorry to say, but it is. In 20, 30 years from now, guys getting into the trade, there's going to be more and more and more stuff like this. And if you don't learn it, you don't take the opportunity to read up on it, you're going to get lost in the wind. So keep learning, keep advancing, keep your intelligence level high, and you can only do that if you continue to learn. This has been a good podcast. I learned a lot of stuff. I want to thank Avi for coming on, and I think that I know why Armstrong's been in business for so long. Because the last two people I've talked to from Armstrong on the podcasts are quality people. They're smart and intelligent people, and they know their products. That's why Armstrong has been in business for so long, because they employ such great people. So if you guys want to learn more about this type of technology and how it can help you on your job sites, go to armstrongfluidtechnology.com and check it out. You guys have an awesome day. Happy HVACing.